Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Jabon Show. Pastor Donald Walker Jr. How you doing, Pastor?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Thank you, sir, for coming on the show and being part of the new season of the Jabon Show. You're one of our first guests, and we had you on because you were doing, like, great. And it's so great to have people that are doing great on your show. So you're in Memphis, and you're leading your congregation as a young, powerful man of God. So we have to do this thing that we do for all the shows. I already know about you. I am excited to have the conversation with you. But for those who do not know the Jabon tradition, please tell us, who is Pastor Donald Walker Jr.?
Well, I'm Donald Walker Jr., native from Memphis, and I'm just happy about the move of God in my life right now, how he continues to open doors for me that I know I cannot open for myself. And pastoring is most definitely a gift, and I believe I've been positioned to do it all my life. And again, forgive me for my hair. I so excited that I didn't want to miss the opportunity. So she told me it was okay to be down to earth, and I was hoping.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Pastor, your hair is fantastic. And what I like about your hair and your vulnerability right now is that you are just a straight, on-fire man of God. You are here to lead the people. And I truly believe that in your mind, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's not about the hair, it's not about the wardrobe, it's about the word, and it's about the way that you deliver that word and impact your people.
Yes. So I started at the age of 22 pastoring, but I began ministry at the age of 12. So it's 22 years now that I've been in ministry. I've been pastoring 3 years. I've started and launched my own ministry, and it's been going forth the past 3 years. But I've been pastoring the past 10 years. So majority of my life has been taken up and consumed with the responsibility of ministry. And it was a decision that I made. It wasn't forced on me. It wasn't, no one made me do it, you know. Of course, I was inspired as a young man seeing my father pastor. So Him and my mom were great examples and inspirations in ministry and music. So, you know, now, like I said, we can continue to talk, and we'll go down a rabbit hole that I'd rather not travel down, you know, today. But I found my way out of religion, found my way out of the personality or the traditional personality of ministry to stand, you know, where I stand today, to minister, you know, with the anointing that God has given me has come through a struggle. You know, it's come through a fight that, you know, money can't buy, you know. I'm still glad that after all I've come through and experienced, that the Lord still thought enough to allow me to keep my mind, you know. So, you know, I'm just blessed to see this season in my life right now. My family is a part of my ministry. My mom, she was a first lady, of course, with my father, who pastored over 24 years. And him being a Baptist traditional pastor, once he has been emeritized, I think is the correct term. Mm-hmm. Once he has been stepped down from the leading pastor position, you know, that removes the family as well, you know. So we had to experience separation from a long time history of ministry with family that I still love to this day, you know. excuse my voice too. It's a little dry here.
No, you're fine. Let me ask you, Pastor. When you're that young going into ministry, What is it about ministry that attracts you at that young age?
More than anything, it was what the Lord had did in my heart around the age of 5, 6. I started having worship experiences, you know, outside of services, outside of my father preaching, you know. So it wasn't something that I took on as a trade to entertain. It was actually a move that happened in me that I couldn't help but share.
And what was the response of your family when you're coming to them and saying, I know I'm young, but I feel God leading me? Because, you know, sometimes they'll be like, listen, boy, that's gas, or boy, that's just SpongeBob. Yeah. Go back and watch Nickelodeon.
My father, what was your response? He said, no, sir. He said, I believe around the age of 5 or maybe 7 and 8, I was coming to him saying, you know, I was interested, you know, interested in ministry in general. So it wasn't for me the responsibility of just preaching. It was the entire, you know, the entire job of looking after the people, making sure the church was together, cleaning up before and after, you know, just taking on the responsibility of ministry became so strong to me in my heart at a young age. You know, I was concerned about how much money we was raising, concerned how much we was spending, you know, just trying to find ways to be a help at a young age, not even looking at it as a job or payment. I just knew that there was the house that was built for the people, you know. So being exiled or being excommunicated from it destroyed my theology. It destroyed, you know, everything I understood for a while about ministry. But God really was revealing a true relationship. He was giving me an opportunity to have a true relationship with him outside of my father's ministry, outside of the four walls of church. So I get to offer this every week now. I get to offer a free relationship with God without being bound by traditional responsibilities, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I know that there are some people that'll say, but you're just a young man, you haven't really experienced life. You haven't really experienced God taking you through something and bringing you out of it. Mm-hmm. How were you able to get the congregation to say, yes, I'm going to follow this young man. I'm going to let him lead me and my family to God.
To whom much is given, you know, much is required. So I often tell my family and loved ones, it's better to be X'd up than to be X'd down. So I was graced, I believe, to carry the mantle of pastoring and leading those who needed a home. It wasn't about me personally. It was about what I was called to do. And that was build a home, a community, you know, for believers to exist, all ages. So we have just as many young as we do seniors, you know. I believe one of the oldest mothers in the church may be 85, you know, years old. And, you know, we got babies in the church, you know, that's 5 and younger. So, you know, it's...
Why would you want that responsibility? Because other people's lives being in your hands, like, you're responsible as the leader of the church, as the head of the ministry, you're responsible for their souls. Why take on such an awesome responsibility at such a young age when you have so much more that you could be doing?
Well, I don't look at it as taking it on as much as I feel like walking it out. You know, I'm walking out my ministry to where, you know, you can't sleep when you got that type of fire, you know, residing on the inside of you. So, you know, it wasn't a choice for me, you know, almost like Jeremiah. If I said I wouldn't do it, you know, like fire in my bones. So it wasn't to lead a large congregation. It wasn't to pastor, you know, it was to just live out my life in ministry. And so happened, me living my life out in ministry attract those who believe, not in me. I'm a mess. You see it now. You know, anyone else that would veer it or, you know, it's a mess, you know, but let your light so shine that men may see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So, you know.
Yeah. And you've been and you've been doing good work in Memphis, but you did talk about it. You touched on it for a moment about some of the things of your past. Now, this is not a tabloid show. The Javon Show doesn't do that. But my question to you is, after going through the things that you went through, whatever the it was, how do you pull yourself out of whatever that was to the place where you are now?
Most definitely determination, you know, being persistent. I was too desperate to be denied, you know. I wasn't going to go back to what I fought my way out of, far as the understanding that was taught to me. You know, I still stand on a lot of the principles that were given to me as a young man, but now I got revelation, you know. So mm-hmm. when you have revelation, it takes you to another realm of understanding that I don't have to stand on what people taught me, because now I'm experiencing things that are unteachable, you know.
Yeah.
Like what Paul say on the solitary heaven, you know, it's I can't even express, you know. And so that's where I am right now. I'm even lost for words for the opportunity to even have this interview, you know. So long I've been behind the mountain, and I'm still learning how to, you know, approach moments like this. You know, I should have been better on point, you know, for this interview. Again, that's why I apologize. I
know
PR most definitely gonna fuss at me. Hopefully,
no. No, sir. No, sir. Listen, I have had a great relationship with your PR person, and she let me know, because of the fact of the timing and everything, that, you know, we was going to be able to go raw. And those are the interviews that the people want to see. They want to see you at your vulnerable. They want to see you unpolished. And that way, it's really, truly coming from the heart. And that's what people get to see in this interview, is your heart. And like you said, your determination, your true belief that you have a gift from God to lead people. And that's what people want to see. So I appreciate you showing and sharing that with this audience today.
Yes.
I want to know about some of the struggles that I've heard other pastors, that my pastor even, talk about. So I'm going to throw some hot topics at you, some fast questions. And I just want to get your thoughts of, and how you handle those situations. Writer's block. When you're there Saturday night and you know you got to get that sermon on Sunday and it's just not all coming together, what is your process for that?
Well, I really don't study to preach. You know, I just always, you know, I'm taking in, you know, day by day. You know, it can be a book, a TV show, and, you know, and a revelation. You know, all I need is a revelation to where when I get done preaching on a Sunday, I'm already being fed for next Sunday. So I'm not starting Saturday for Sunday. I'm already, you know, so even with songwriting, a lot of the songs that I've written was not something that I put pen to paper, you know, mainly just out of the spirit. Or, you know, now that I do understand those things are, you know, gifts from God versus just a talent to be able to do it, you know, the way that God was allowing me to do it. Because I love a lot of the artists and, you know, writers, but there's not one that I try to mimic, you know. I feel like I was birthed out of the time of Ty Tribbett when he first, you know, I tell people, I say, that's my music father. That's my, you know, the one that I feel like birthed us into a sound that helped chase us out of, you know, where we were. You know, not bound, but all that we knew. So that helped me take that influence and passion into ministry. I took that same energy and zeal. You know, the way we see Pastor Ty Tribbett now minister as a pastor is something I couldn't wait to see. You know, I may have now been pastoring longer than he's had his church, but I've been a part of his church, you know, just as long as he's come out with GA, Ty Tribbett, and, you know, Greater Anointing, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so he's one of my greatest influence to help me birth true identity, you know.
So besides your own pastor, your father, who are some of your other ministerial influence? I know that Ty is a good music influence, but who are some of your ministerial influences?
Well, of course, you know, the names that everybody, you know, most definitely will go to, that of, you know, Bishop Jakes, of course. Mm-hmm. Keon Henderson, Pastor Keon Henderson. I have a few here in the city that are really a blessing to me. Pastor Bishop Willis, Kevin Willis. He's been a great example of leadership, pastoring, and preaching. Bishop Linwood Dillard is another one. He's also he's a great example as well, who's been a blessing spiritually and personally. I mean, the list can go on. I have an amazing cousin who's an awesome preacher. He lives now in Detroit. His name is Pastor Frank Harris Jr. And he's amazing. So he was our young goat who we all admire. A lot of the young preachers that came up in the city, you know, got a chance to see him minister at a level that we all, you know, prayed to get at. And now we see another one of our brothers who grew up with us, Pastor Jantarius Tate. That's another brother of ours that we all grew up in the city. So, you know, though all of those are great influences, what I'm trying to say. All of Pastor Tate, even today, he has such a fire that reminds us how not to lose a fire, or, you know, how to keep your fire. Or he lets you know when you ain't got the fire, you know. So many of them. My friend, Pastor Frank Ray, the third, we're close. And his grandfather, of course, is all I go. That's the Michael Jordan of preaching, you know, Pastor Frank Ray Sr. So he's another amazing inspiration to me. So, you know, like I said, this can go on. Noah Jones, of course, you know, is the godfather, of course.
Do you ever feel yourself pulling from them and trying to emulate them, or even your father trying to emulate them instead of being the genuine Walker Jr.?
Oh, no. Okay. I think all of them handled the system of ministry a lot better probably than how I probably handled it. You know, they did really well. They're doing well as a, you know, my father and a lot of other pastors, they know how to keep the traditions of the system alive. You know, I think I may rub it, you know, the wrong way a little. I may do things quite interesting or differently.
Unique. You're unique in your ministry.
Yeah, so, but, you know, but I still have that of an old soul. I would like to still consider that. I haven't got away from preaching Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's just the presentation now has changed, you know. And I'm all right with it. I'm okay with it. You know, it's just accepting a new way of doing it, you know, and being okay with it, you know. Having to affirm my uniqueness personally, that even if it's not supported outwardly, you know, greater is he that is in me. So, you know.
What is impacting the church right now at the highest level? What is it that the church needs to work on in order for the kingdom to continue to grow?
Relationship with each other outside of the four walls. You know, if ministries can work better together.
That's good. And how do we do that?
Now, like I said, I'm really trying to be able to set a great approach going into the music industry from ministry. And those are great questions, by the way. But like I said, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth or, you know, and say anything. And that's the part that I'm, you know, being coached, artist training, PR, you know, because there's a lot that can be said, you know, about that. But with God, we can do anything, you know. And I think if everybody worked together, you know, through prayer.
Absolutely. You know. Now, you have a single coming out, right? And what do you want people to receive from this single?
To allow it to be a testimony of their daily, you know, lives or daily situations, that nothing they have gone through, you know, lasts longer than the power of God. God's power always, you know, is there to strengthen you through what you're going through. And especially when you got the faith to say it won't last while the storm is going on, you know, you're going to come through it even quicker. So, you know. So I heard a pastor say so profoundly that not to run from the storm, run to the storm. You know, if you run to it, you know, you get through it a lot quicker. But in so many words, you know, your storm won't last. Your sickness won't last. You know, your pain won't last. Nothing that you're going through that the enemy is trying to maximize or, you know, try to prolong. Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, man. And we are looking forward to hearing the single and when it comes out. Now, will they be able to get it on iTunes and Apple Music and
all down, all platforms, all platforms? Again, thanks to the awesome team, you know, that made that possible. But all platforms, May 5th, you'll be able to download. You know, It Won't Last. So I'm asking for everyone prayers as well. Please continue to pray with me as God continue to expand our territories, you know, outside of the four walls of ministry. Because this is still ministry. You know, I'm not trading one for the other. They're all going to work together. So, you know.
That's what's up. And I'm sure the church is excited.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. I mean, we've been in such a celebration season, celebrating, of course, the resurrection. Then we celebrated our three-year celebration. You know, church just turned 3 years old. And then I just celebrated a 10-year pastoring. So, you know, just back to back, you know, we've had so many reasons, you know, to give God praise on top of now the single being released. I really thought I was going to release it maybe last month, but with careful consideration and counsel, you know, really just trying to build enough of a foundation to be able to do more music, you know, to be able to see, to be able to be seen in a different light outside of just the pulpit, because now there are a lot of other creatives, singers, writers that this platform now can be open for, because, you know, I can't do it by myself, but to see others be blessed by a ministry from the heart of a creative, you know. So, you know, I want to be able to be a blessing to those that are interesting in their approach. You know, it may not be accustomed to the traditional style of doing things, but it don't mean that you can't, you know, win. It don't mean that you won't be respected. So, you know, I'm praying that this show people or give them a chance to see an example of one who fought through, you know, just fought through things being normal, fought through things being regular. And I want to say this so you can choose to keep it or not, that I never fought to get out of it because I was angry, you know, with someone. You know, there's no one I could point the finger at that I was bothered by, you know, because I love everyone, you know, from my past today. You know, a lot of my family and church members that I told you that we had to leave when I was younger, growing up there, they call me now for weddings, birthdays, as well as funerals. So, you know, I'm always there when they need me. But I understood it was something about the system, you know. So it wasn't the people, it was the system and the operation that we all were a part of. So with prayer, you know, it's God to just, you know, show me a different way, or he showed me a different way. He revealed something to me that, like I said, I want to be able to give back to the next generation to say, you don't have to give up on church because some system hurt your heart. You know, it wasn't the church that hurt your heart. It was someone operation. It was somebody's structure, business, you know. But God would never put more on you than you can bear.
And, amen.
He knew exactly what I needed to go through or what I needed to come out of to see what he's shown me, you know. And like I said, I'm excited, you know. You know, I got a long journey ahead of me. I'm glad about it.
And it seems like it's going to work out. You know, you seem to be following what God wants you to do, and that's the most important thing. So, Pastor Donald Walker Jr., I appreciate you, man, just taking the time for being vulnerable and coming on the show. For those who want to get in contact with you directly and want to learn more about your ministry, how do they find you on social media?
Yes, on Facebook, of course. I'm there, Donald Walker Jr. And on IG, find me at Walker Jr. or Donald Walker Jr. as well there. One Walker Jr., forgive me, One Walker Jr. So I look forward to connecting, you know, to especially those of you that are, you know, brothers and sisters in the kingdom. So again, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity.
Thank you for coming on the show. Good luck with the new single. I plan on bumping it when it comes out. I've been listening to it. You know,
I was going to say, did she let you hear it?
Oh, yeah, I'm VIP. So I loved it, Doc. That's why I was excited to talk to you. It's going to go phenomenal. I hope it hits every radio station. I hope it blesses the people. So congratulations to you, to the ministry, to everything that you're going to put your hands on. May it be prosperous and multiply. And so thank you for letting the Javon Show share your story and for being a blessing to us. So thank you, sir. Everybody, make sure you guys go follow Donald Walker Jr. The album is out right now. By the time this airs, the album is out. Y'all have heard the music on the radio. Not the album, the single is out. You've heard the music on the radio. Make sure you guys go pick it up right now. Like, right now. So, on behalf of everybody with the Javon Show, thank y'all for watching. God bless you. And we will see you next time real soon. Now, like we like to go out, we go out with a commercial. So, y'all go follow your boy. What's great about the Javon Show, and, you know, we've recorded our two shows, two of the first episodes of the new season, but there's an episode that I'm still very, very fond of, and I just want to play that snippet for you from that show. It's the time that I got to sit down with the Lockets, and I just want to play a little bit of it before we get off the air, because it's one of my favorites. So watch it if you choose to watch it, and if you don't want to watch it, then I say you'd be defiant and stay and watch it anyway. Here it is. The Creative Showcase is where we let you go forth in your talent and showcase to the world what it is that you do. I'm going to ask Keandra to sing the song, but here's the caveat. You can't sing something gospel.
I get so weak in the knees, I can hardly speak. I lose all control, and something takes over me. By my side, I swallow my pride. Your love is so sweet, it knocks me right off my feet. Oh my, can't explain why your love and makes me weak.
Can you do that just that one? Because I literally just got chills. Can you just do that? Can't explain just one more time, just so I can close my eyes and pretend like I'm in the front row of your R&B concert at the Grammy with your performance. Okay, one more time.
Can't explain why your love makes me weak. I try hard to fight it.
Boom, boom.
No way can I deny it.
Boom, boom.
Your love so sweet.
What does it do?
Knocks me off my feet.
Take us home. Take us home.
I get so weak in the knees. I can hardly speak. I lose all control. When something takes over me in a day, it is so amazing. Ooh, oh, I can't explain why your love and me weak. Oh.
That's what she did. And she did it. Oh, can you show me? Take one more time, just that one part, please.
Can't explain why your love it makes me weak. A little bit.